John chapter 12, begin reading in verse 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, are you ready to hear the word today?
Amen.
Amen. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he'd raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. We'll stop there for the reading. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. As I mentioned, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And you'll find this account in other passages as well. But what I have found after studying is a common theme among the characters in the Scripture. Specifically, Mary and Martha. Anytime you read about Mary and Martha in Scripture, they're always doing the same thing. Martha is always serving, and Mary is always sitting. Martha's always serving, Mary's always sitting. Martha's always... Help me out, come on. Thank you. Wake up. Mary is always... Martha's always
serving.
Mary's always
sitting.
Mary's always
sitting.
Martha's always
serving.
Okay, you get the idea. Everywhere you see him. Martha's always serving. Mary's always sitting. And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Every church needs both kinds of people. Every church better have some Marthas. Every church better have some people that just get the work done. And I found out there's a lot of people through the years that say they work, but yet they don't lift a finger. But we need some Marthas that are willing to get up and get it done, regardless of what it is. They're just there to get it done, and they're there to serve. We need some Marthas, but then we also need some Marys that know how to sit at the feet of Jesus and know how to worship. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with Mary sitting and Martha serving. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem was, they did it so much, it became predictable. If you read the first two accounts, and then you get to the third scripture, you automatically assume Martha's going to serve and Mary's going to sit. If there was another account in Scripture, I guarantee you 100% of the time, Martha was going to be serving and Mary was going to be sitting. There's nothing wrong with that, as I said, but it came predictable. And see, so many times in our Christian life, we do things that are predictable, that the devil knows our next move even before we make it. And sometimes we kind of get on the formal churches that follow a bulletin, that follow a program, and we say, well, they don't follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They just go down the paper and follow it down and do this and that, and then they go home. But yet, I guarantee, I know what's going to happen in most of the churches in America this morning. They're going to start the service with prayer. They're going to have a couple congregational songs. They're going to have a special family prayer. They're going to have a couple special songs. They're going to have the preacher going to preach. They may take an offering somewhere in there, and they're going to go home, and they're going to say that we minded the Holy Spirit. And then they get up and do the same thing over and over and over again. And yet they get on those that follow a form and a program. Sometimes we do things that are predictable. And so I'm making a challenge to us as Ribbonville Community Church. I think sometimes the devil knows what we're going to do even before we do it. So maybe next time you come into service, you need to sit in another seat. Maybe you need to park in another parking spot. Maybe you need to do things just a little bit different. Maybe we come in tonight and we have preaching first before we have singing. I don't know, but all I'm telling you to do is watch out, because you can become predictable and the devil knows your next move. Martha was always serving. Mary was always sitting. Nothing wrong with that. But as you can tell, it became non-productive. But here in John chapter 12, something happens. Martha's always serving and Mary's always sitting, but something happened. Mary decides to get out of her comfort zone. Mary gets up from sitting at the feet of Jesus and decides to do something that's total out of the ordinary. She takes the ointment. And in fact, in the final book of Matthew says it was an alabaster box. And she takes the ointment. And not only does she puts it upon the feet of Jesus, but Matthew says that she took it and poured it on the head of Jesus. Almost like the psalmist said, it went from the head down to the beard, even Aaron's beard down to the skirts of his garment. That's the picture I picture here when Mary anointed Jesus at this place. You know, you say, Brian, what does this have to do with anything? I am so glad you asked. This was spontaneous worship. Mary said, you know what? God, you've done something for me. Jesus, you've been so good to me. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. You say, Brian, why would she do that? You know why she would do that? Because sitting two chairs down from her at the dinner table was a brother that had been dead. Now she was eating dinner with him. Now she was having conversation with him. And she was saying, Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you performed a miracle for me. Now I'm going to give back to you. That's what she was doing. She was withholding nothing. This spikenard, this ointment that she had was red in color. It was very precious. It was very costly, as we find in Scripture. But I want you to notice about these things this morning, and about this ointment, about Mary. First of all, I want you to notice this was freely given. Mary did this out of her own free will. She was not forced to do this. She was not commanded to do this. Out of her own free will, she was willing to give it all to Jesus. That's what true spontaneous worship is. Not when you're prompted by someone else. Not when you're prompted to raise your hand. Not when you're prompted to stand to your feet and praise the Lord. No, spontaneous worship is when it gets down in you like bigger than a house. And you got to say, Lord, I got to do something. I got to get my hands up. I got to shout. I got to say, what for Jesus Christ? Whatever it is. Hey, it's when God does something so good for you, you just can't contain yourself. Hallelujah. Spontaneous worship. And this really was worship. It was freely given. It was a selfless act. Not only was it a selfless act, but it was a sacrificial act. You understand what she was giving here. It says in our scripture this was 300 pence. That's how much it was worth, or how much they could have sold it for. If you look up and study it out, this was about a year's wages. All wrapped up in one box of ointment. And you say, Brian, well, that's a year's wages. But a year's wages back then was a lot of money. Imagine, I think the average median wage for the United States is maybe $45,000 to $50,000. Imagine if you just gave that to somebody, a year's wages. That'd be a lot. That'd be a sacrifice, wouldn't it? But this was a sacrifice to her. But it was more than just a year's wages. You have to understand what this meant to her. It was a selfless act. It was a sacrificial act. But in this ointment, in this alabaster box was something so precious. This was used whenever she would find a mate to marry. This was used as her dowry. This was used to give to her future husband, saying this is the payment. That's what they did back in Bible time. They would save up this ointment. They would save up precious items, and they would give them as a dowry. You know what she was saying? Jesus, it don't matter if I ever get married. It don't matter about my future. It don't matter. I'm willing to pour it all out onto you. I'm giving you my insurance. I'm giving you my retirement. I'm giving you my future. She was willing to pour it out all on Jesus. She said, I'm not withholding anything. I'm giving it all to Jesus. That's what we need in the church house this morning, is people that are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to give you my future. I'm willing to give you my marriage. I'm willing to give you my children. I'm willing to give you my retirement. I'm willing to give you my insurance. Hey, everything in your life needs to be freely given to Jesus. Because if you honestly think about it this morning, He gave it all to you anyway. They sang about He made a change this morning. He paid the price on Calvary. He paid it in full. But He said we could keep the change. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He paid the price, and all He requires is that we give back to Him what He's already given to us. And I can't imagine this morning living my life without giving everything to Jesus Christ. I did a long time ago when I was fighting the call to preach. The Lord said, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do that? And Lord, and joy, I didn't care what it was at that time. I was just so burdened down in my soul. I know I needed to give it all to Jesus. And after I was saved, I knew that I needed a closer walk with God. I knew I needed to get rid of the things of the world. I knew I just needed all of Jesus that I could handle. So I poured it out on Him and sanctified my life wholly to the will of God. Yes, I'm preaching about that this morning. I'm talking about sanctifying yourself to the full will of God. Saying goodbye to the things of the world and saying, hello, Jesus, what do you have for me? I'm willing to give it all to you. Young people, you have to be willing. I'm not saying you'll never be married. I'm not saying you'll never have children. And I'm not saying you'll never have a good job. But you got to be willing to say, Lord, if I never have those things, You're still God. It's serious business. And I believe when God comes back, He's going to want a church that's been sanctified and set apart wholly to the will of God. I'm not saying some of y'all ain't saved. You just ain't enjoying your salvation. But when you fall, this ain't in my notes, but that feels good this morning, Lee. Hey, when you give it all to Jesus, it don't matter. It don't matter. The things of the world won't matter. You'll find, like Paul, whatever state you're in, to be content. Hey, I know some things will happen. And I know sometimes we come down with financial problems. And sometimes we come down with disease, C.D. Harris. But listen, when you give it all to Jesus, there's an overwhelming peace that comes in your life that says, Lord, You brought this to me, and You're going to bring me through it. Hallelujah. May I remind you one more time, everything that happens to us comes through the desk of our eternal Father. That means He's in control, and He knows the end even before the beginning. Hallelujah. So God, be willing to give it all. Sacrificial. Willing to give it all. And then, it was a grateful act. She was thankful for what Christ had did for her. A brother that had been raised from the dead. She had seen His miracles. But not only that, she was grateful for His Word, because time after time, Mary was always what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, right next to the man of God, the Son of God, listening to His Word. And she was grateful. And she says, I'm willing to give it all back to You because You've been so good to me. But you'll find what she did, something was totally unusual. And sometimes we read over this, and sometimes we neglect to understand fully what it means. You'll find that the Bible says in your scripture, in the book of Matthew, yes, she poured it out on His head, and it went down His whole body, down to His feet. But then, she bows at the feet of Jesus. She don't sit at His feet. No, she bows at His feet. and takes her hair and begins to wipe the feet of Jesus Christ with her hair. You say, Brian, that's a beautiful picture. Oh, it sure is. But you have to understand what that means. Because not only was it a selfless act and a sacrificial act and a grateful act, but it was a humble act. You see, what they would do in Bible times, as I mentioned to you before, the streets were filled with dirt and with mud and with dung. Animals would run freely through the streets of a city. And so the streets were filled with dung and with dirt and with mud. And so when the honored guests of the house would come in and visit, what they would do, the servants or the slaves of that house would bend down, woo, hallelujah, and take rags that were placed at the side of the door. Paul referred to them as filthy rags of righteousness. And so they would take those filthy rags. The servant would humble themselves. And to the honored guests, they would wipe their feet off. They would wipe that mud and dirt and grime off their feet as to say, you're the honored guest and you're welcome into this house. Can I remind you, Mary was not a servant in this house. In fact, she owned the house. She lived there. But she took on the form of a servant and of a slave. I feel this morning, and humbled herself in front of the Son of God and said, I'm willing to give it all to you. I humble myself in front of you. But then she took her hair and began to wipe his feet. Oh, this is a beautiful picture. This wasn't just something that she was doing because she didn't have a towel beside her. No, the hair in Bible times of women represented their glory. It represented their pride. So she was willing to say, well, Lord, I take my glory and I take my pride and I humble myself because I am nothing without you. It was freely given. It was freely given. But then notice the fragrance. The Bible says that when she poured it out on him, the odor filled the house. All because, Jack, of one woman's selfless obedience to the Holy Spirit. Not only were those standing beside Jesus getting a blessing, but everyone in the back corner of the house, they got blessed too, because one woman gave it all to Jesus. Hey, can I remind you, how many times have you heard the phrase, oh, I'm so glad they did that. They were the key to the service. You remember, I don't mean to embarrass them, but you remember a few weeks ago when Delbert Didway got up and took a lap around this building with his wife as a form of praise and worship. He was the key to the service. How many of you got blessed over here that night? I got blessed, I sure did, because one man was willing to give it all back to Jesus. And I'm telling you, you'd be surprised if you're willing to give it all to Jesus. Not only will you be blessed, but everyone in the house will be blessed. Fragrance filled the house. Everyone gets blessed when people are willing to give it all. It's good preaching, isn't it? Thank you. I was wondering, just wondering. You're quiet, but I think you're listening. The fragrance is freely given. But notice she faced opposition. After she gave it all to Jesus and poured it on him, Judas got mad. Judas got upset because he was a thief and said, we could have taken this and given it to the poor. And he wasn't going to give it to the poor at all. He was just going to pad his own pockets. But that teaches us a greater lesson. Anytime you're willing to give it over to Jesus, there will be people that will not like you. In fact, they'll be mad at you and won't even know why they're mad at you. You know why? Because they're jealous. Because they ain't got enough guts to give it all to Jesus. And because they see you blessed in times of trial. They see you blessed when you've got disease. They see you blessed when you're going through financial problems. And they're just a tad bit jealous because they ain't willing to give it all to Jesus either. I'm telling you, there's something to this about giving it all. Because she withheld nothing and gave it all, people got mad. You understand that there are people, and I know you know this, people never step foot in this church, don't like us a bit. They don't. Almost weekly I get texts from people. You ain't going to believe what I heard these people talking about our church. I said, let them talk. Go ahead. If they're cowards and ain't got enough guts to come here anyway, they don't deserve a reply, in my opinion. Amen. And I got Bible, this scripture right here. They got mad at Mary, but you notice what Mary did. She did not say a word. When people hurt her, when people got mad at her, when people complained about her, she kept her mouth shut and let Jesus speak for her. Oh my, my, I could go 100 different ways with this morning. But I think you all understand, because you're willing to give it all to Jesus, there will be people that will not like you. They'll say things about you behind your back, out in public. You know the best thing you can do? Let Jesus speak up for you. Because let every man be a liar and let God be the truth. The truth will always come out. If you do right and people talk about you, you're best off not to even reply, but to keep your mouth shut. And let Jesus fight the battle. Because the truth will always come out. Amen. Amen? Amen? Every time. Every time. And I'm preaching to myself. Because I've had people hurt me. I've had people that are closest to me hurt me. In fact, I'm not going to be super spiritual this morning. I was flat out mad. And I just wanted to give him a piece of my mind. You know? And then the girls at work remind me, don't give him too much. He ain't got much left. But you do. I mean, because see, the devil always sets up people that are close to you to get mad at you. And they might not... They may not even know what you've been through. They may not even know the struggles you've had. They may not even know the peace that you got now that you've given it all to Jesus. But yet, as soon as you give it all, I guarantee the next morning, boom! And can I remind you, it's not them that's the problem. It's the devil working through them. So I've had to watch. The older I get, the more like my dad and like my papa I'm getting. So I got to watch. Sometimes we can have open mouth, foot disease. But she let Jesus fight her battles. It was freely given. It was, look at the fragrance. She faced opposition, but finally, notice with me. Just give me a couple more minutes. She was forever remembered because she withheld nothing. Matthew 26:13. Jesus said, because she did this, she will never be forgotten. Her one act of selflessness was recorded forever in the history books of heaven. Don't you want to be remembered? I think everyone in here would be honest and say, I want to be remembered for something good. I heard our pastor say several times, he's heard people and other people try to be humble and they say, well, when I die, just put me in a pine box. I don't want no big service. I don't want no funeral. Phooey. I'll just go on record. If something happens to me, you have the biggest service you've ever had. Just pull out all stops. I don't care. Hey, I would hope I would have had influence on someone. I want to be remembered for something. But at the end of life, there's really only one thing that will be remembered forever. And that's the day you come to an altar of prayer, wherever that altar is, and you bow your heart to Christ, and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And the Bible says that your name is written in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, forever remembered. And if you stay true to Jesus, it'll never be blotted out. But it's forever, forever remembered. Think about this. She anointed the body of Jesus, and he said himself, against the day of my burying has she done this. And I always wondered, Roger, why didn't God allow Mary and the others on the morning of the third day to anoint his body? Because he didn't need anointed. Mary had already done it. Mary had already done it right here in the scripture. This was the beginning of the week before Christ was to die. He was to go to Pilate's hall. He was to die on the cross of Calvary. He was to take the cat of nine tails. And he was going to say, it is finished. Can you imagine every step that he took up the Via Dolorosa? There was a scent that followed him. Every cat of nine tails that was laid on his back, the fragrance that filled the room that day, came back into the Roman soldier's nose and nostril. And they said, I know this is gruesome and this is awful, but I'm telling you, he smells so good. There's something different about this man. You know what it was? One woman was willing to withhold nothing and give it all to Jesus, and she was forever remembered. Forever remembered. I hope you want to be remembered this morning for something that you've done, and there's one act, selfless act, that'll get it done. And that's if you call on the name of the Lord today and ask Him to come into your heart. I don't know your hearts this morning, but I can almost guarantee there's someone here today that hasn't surrendered their life to you, to the Lord. And you need to say, Brian, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to turn it all over to Him. And then there are some Christians in the house today that you're struggling in trying to enjoy your salvation. Listen, the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, and all God wants you to do is withhold nothing.